Hey, guess what? It's Broker Boys. Check it out, everybody. This is not financial advice. We're not your financial advisors. We're not brokers. And we're honestly pretty dumb. Actually, I am. Derek's pretty smart. We got Derek over there. I'm Alex. And we got Tron, very last.
Yo, village idiot.
And they're all like looking at their stocks right now. You know, I got my stuff open. I'm like staring. The market's closed.
I'm betting on Mexican soccer over here, actually. Give me a second. But no, thanks for having me on the show. I love coming here for Broker Boys. This is it's always fun to teach people how to invest and always learn something along the way, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we already got people listening to episodes for some reason. I'm like, wow, impressive.
No, but...
What? Is it your sister?
What?
Listening to Broker Boys?
No.
AKA Megatron.
No, she doesn't listen. She doesn't give a shit about stocks at the moment. One day she will.
One day. But this episode is all about options. That's all we're going to cover.
Tron can make $1 million play and Megatron would be like, why'd you sell it $1 million?
Right?
Starscream. Just like give them all like new nicknames. Like slyly hands it over. Don't worry. This episode, it's not recorded on video. Because I'm going to put in like different things in the background.
Well, no. I just handed over what we were talking about like off air between the straddle and strangle and the difference.
Yep, so let's start off with the basics of the basics. Again, not financial advice. But buying a call and buying a put. So, Derek or Sean, you can talk about this. What is buying a call?
Well, let's let Derek talk about call since he doesn't believe in puts. And then I'll talk about the put because I believe in them very much.
I do. I just don't normally play them. I'm pretty bullish on most of the market, so I don't really like to play.
Have we went over what bull is?
So bulls and bears. Bulls are you basically think the stock market is going to continually grow without too much pullback. Bearish, you either think the stock market is going to trade sideways or have a big pullback. And we're not just saying one day. This is more of a trend over a period of time, weeks, months, years. You know, you can be a bull for a week and turn into a bear for a week. You can be bull for a day, turn into a bear for a day. You know, it's just all about what you think of the stock market, what do you think of the stock, what trend it's going to go up or down.
So what's a put or a call?
So a call is you're betting on a stock moving from a certain price to going up, pretty much going from, say you bet on stock XYZ, don't invest in stock XYZ, just referencing the number, the letters as a random hypothetical stock.
Yeah.
Say it's trading for $15 and you think it's going to go to $20, you'd play like a $17 to $18 call because you think it's going to go to $20. And that means you're betting on the stock going up.
And then the put's the exact opposite. But when you're buying that for that price, you're getting 100 shares. So when it moves up or down, it's moving up or down by like, if it's a dollar, then it moved up $100 or lower $100, depending on your contract. Now, I am a big person that believes in puts because I've only been in the market so far now for like, what, a month now, Derek? Something like that? 2 months, maybe?
Yeah, I say a month, but you've been investing longer than that.
Right. But like in the market with the stocks and like puts and calls, I've been about a month or so. I've noticed that the market does tend to go down a lot recently, but that's also because like I personally, again, not financial advice. I'm the poorest one out of all of us here, but I do believe we're in some sort of bubble. And so like playing the put, I'm just like hedging my bet where I'm trying not to lose as much and still win some out of it. With the market going down, I still think like, hey, it's going to go down. I'm going to make money. And then I believe it going up later. So it's going to make money. For example, I have a call option set out for the 19th of April.
Yeah.
If I would have taken out this week earlier, I would have been in the money. I would have had money. But then the stock market came down, and so now that contract is just worth zero at the moment because it's below what I bought it at.
So, like, if you buy a call, for instance, how would you cash that out? Like, how would you get your money? You see that you have your money. Like,
so say I buy a call where I think stock XYZ was going to reach $20.
Yeah.
I bought stock XYZ at $15. I put a call in, a call option in at $17.50. One day I see it rise up to like $16. So now my option that I have in there has went up $100. Well, 72, somewhere around there, depending. And then if it keeps going, I feel it's going to keep going up, then I'm just going to leave it in there. If I feel that it might go down and this is the best time to get out, I will then go to where I bought my options and I would click the button to sell it, and then you would just sell it.
So you just sell your call.
Correct.
All right. Very nice. Very nice. So if is there a way to, you know, have calls and puts and play both sides and be like, I'm going to, you know, I hope it goes up, but if it goes down, I'm not crying because I'm winning on both sides. And could you just, you know, bet that it goes, you know, say you have like a XYZ is at 15 and you just want it 15.50. Like, why wouldn't I just, you know, bet that it goes to 15.50, and if it goes above that, do I get more money?
Well, when you do the options, it already has a breakdown of like what your buy-in is and like the what's it called, increments of what you could buy at.
Yeah.
So like on lower valued, like single digit options, typically those there's much more numbers you could choose in between in dollar amounts. But when we're talking like a $15 stock, those options are typically like you could buy it at $7.50, you could buy it at $20, you could buy it at $22.50, you could buy it at $25.
Yeah, so, you know, like if I saw a $5 share or a $5 stock and there's an option to $25, I'm like, it's not going to hit that. I mean, I can, you know, push it so far out.
It's called intricate value. And the closer you are to the stock price when you play your call, the less or the more intricate value you'll actually have. So like say you're playing stock XYZ at $60, right?
Yeah.
But you buy a call at $58. So you're already $2 into the call. So your intricate value, so no matter what happens, as long as that thing doesn't go back to the point you bought it at, you're going to get way more value going up, but it's going to be more, it's going to expire quicker with the other Greeks. And that's something we'll talk about maybe later this episode or a different episode about the Greeks.
These Spartans over here trying to screw us over, throw us in a hole.
Also, like a couple of option information that I've learned just personally. So say you think that the it's going to hit a dollar amount on a certain date, right?
Yeah.
Always buy, if you can afford it, buy it out longer than that certain date. Just in case like it doesn't happen then, but it happens like a week or so later. Or say like it's going to go down, you still have enough, you save yourself time to make that correction for yourself.
You'll spend more money, but like John said, you'll have more chance of a return to make things happen.
Okay, so if you have something just a week out, it can be a cheap, you know, scratcher, and you could possibly, you know, get your money quick.
Like you can play dailies and you can play weeklies on certain stocks, like SPY or Tesla or things that have huge value. You can bet on it daily, you know, but literally, if the stock doesn't do what you wanted to do in that day, you just toss your money into a dumpster, you know. But if you play things that are, you know, potentially longer plays or bigger situations or whatever, you know, it could be wild. It could be one of those things where, you know, like I played that oil stock I was showing you guys. Like
yeah.
I played that 6 months out and I only sold it because I didn't want to keep getting margin called. because I, the market was downtrending. So every,
that's a margin call.
We'll get to that in a second. But so, but my, it, I was already up $2,000 within like 3.5 weeks of it, of even playing the thing. So what's the point of continually, you know, waking up and stressing, oh my God, that it dipped below $2,000. Oh my God, it's going to go back up over $2,000. Why not just take my $2,000 and reinvest it? You know what I mean? You know, I've turned $900 into $4,600 because of little plays like that. Just picking a stock, buying it 6 months out, knowing that it, you know, oil was going to go from really low in the wintertime to, what are you paying now? I just paid $2.89 a gallon today for a gallon of gas.
I pay like over $3.
Yeah. Well, like speaking from experience, right, and talking about the stock options and like the time wise, a great example is this. So I bought a stock option. I thought it was going to reach $20 by the 19th of what's it called, this month, and of last month, and it didn't until the week after, but it didn't do anything. So therefore, it didn't rise or fall. So my contract expired at zero, but then the next week it went to $20, where my contract would have been at $200.
Yeah, I mean, like the same thing happened to me with that ET.
Yeah.
Like I bought it a week out. You know, yeah, I bought 100 shares at fucking nothing, and it cost me $8. I'm like, oh, cool. And then I got in the money, and I'm like, let it ride, whatever, let it ride. It was like $20, like whatever. It was piddly amounts of money. But it was still in the money, and I could have sold that. And I didn't.
Man, you know, you don't bet on a goddamn team, and they just do what you wanted to do. It's so annoying.
That's hilarious.
But when you were talking about your strategy of buying, what's it called, a call and a put, they do those strategies. I honestly just learned it was like a straddle and a strangle or something like that.
Yeah.
So those are violent ones. Those are like, you kind of go out of the money, like way big, like you think it's, instead of being like safe where you play at like $4 or $5, you do further out, but like quick expiration in a sense.
Well, yes and no. Cause like, check it out. If I would have, for example, like we're just, again, using real life example. If I would have bought Funko and played the $19 call and the $17.50 put, I would have hit on both last week.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, and like,
and then you still are supposed to play both strategies with the calls, puts, and then this one, you're supposed to play a little longer term out. But the only reason why you're playing both is because you, like you as yourself, you know it's going to move one way or another. You just don't know which way. And so you want to make money somewhere.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And with that, sorry, something's in my eyeball.
Yeah, like that with like Tesla. Because Tesla's,
yeah, kind of, Tesla's a great example of that one.
That's an easy way to run spreads, but the issue is, look how expensive some of those plays are.
Oh yeah,
you know, unless you got $5,000 or $10,000 going in, you know, you got to pick a different stock. Like one stock that I thought about using as a spread tool, I told you, was J.P. Morgan. I was looking at that stock religiously, and it was trading between 92 and then 97. And then after about a month, I was like, all right, here we go. First time doing a spread. I got this one. I got this one. And then it went to 110. And I was just like, wait a second. I was just like, that doesn't make any sense at all. You know, and I didn't play it because it was out of the norm of what that stock was doing.
But even if you did play it,
the
right,
call would have been good.
Yeah, your call would have covered your put loss.
Yes.
And you would have been in the money.
Yeah. I mean, I would have made money, but it wouldn't have been the technique that I was trying to use.
No, yeah.
You know, so that's why I didn't do it.
It would have been a different technique, which right. is the same, I don't know which one we're
just
doing.
Just call.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I just, and I like, cause like I wasn't sure if it was just a violent 1 week kind of thing, but now it's upwards of around like 147 a share or something like that. So, you know,
all right. Yeah.
The nice thing of this is options, as much as they're a risk in a dumpster fire, you can find ways to play them to be a little bit safer and work the Greeks. You know, there's a group called Theta Gang, and you just literally play Theta on, like, it's one of the Greeks, and you play that type of Greek on the stock and the option. So you buy it some way, and then when that thing hits its pinnacle, boom, you made all your money.
So what are the Greeks?
That is one I think we should save for a different episode.
Okay.
I think we should just do that all at once. I'm still learning them. It's I'm in the midst of a 4-hour YouTube video.
Oh Jesus. Okay. So, yeah. We'll save what are the Greeks for a different episode.
Yep. There's some quick explanations, you know. Basically Greeks, these numbers and algorithms and what they do are what causes your option to have the volatility that it does. And these all determine your cash payout, determine how much the stock and the option cost. And then there's certain ones where one Greek affects the expiration date by like how soon it is and how long it is. Mm-hmm. There's one of if it trades up or down and how much, and there's another one that how much is trading. And these are general terms. These are very, very general. Like I'm just spreading, like I'm just taking the butter out of the butter thing and spreading it on, not even thinning it out. You know what I mean? I'm just letting it melt.
And then as well, when he explains it, like in the next episode or whenever we do this episode,
yeah, it'll probably be a bit.
Just for the record, most people who talk about Greeks will openly admit that they still don't understand it all.
Yep. And it is.
So it's like women.
It's very.
I was going to say like magic, but yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
I know all about women.
And I try to, when I will explain something, I try to explain it as if I'm talking to you in a person and I'm not talking to you as your teacher or as someone that, you know, thinks they're more intelligent than anyone else. I just have put in the time and the research, you know.
So yeah, I mean,
all this information is available to anyone.
Like, honestly, I have put in, like, I just started trading this year. Like, obviously, I had my 401k, but I'm like, these people on Reddit said GameStop was something to buy. And, you know, I made a little bit of money, but Diamond Hands still. But to call it back, you said margin calls earlier, that you kept on getting hit with margin calls.
Yes.
What are those?
So a margin call is basically you have in an X amount of capital. So most margin accounts require you have at least $2,000 in the account.
Okay.
And what it does is you can play with the exchange's money, basically. So you can put up your $2,000 as credit. And so we'll reference Webull. So Webull gives you 6 times your daily amount. So right now, my account is sitting right around 4K. Okay. And I can day trade with 12 grand.
Oh, wow.
If I wanted to. But that's literally buying in the morning, and then selling before the end of close. But if I wanted to trade overnight, I can trade with 6K, or sorry, 8K, because it's 2 times.
Okay.
So there's, but.
But you owe their money.
Yeah, but then basically what it is they won't take your money unless the stock and or the options or whatever you play go up or go bad, you know, go tits up or go the negative other way, and then they'll come knocking for their money because you owe them like 7% on whatever you borrowed.
And so that's why. The homie that killed himself because of Robinhood,
yeah,
he was legitly confused because he thought he was doing a margin thing where he owed that $700,000.
Yeah.
Nope, he didn't.
Yeah.
It was a spread.
Right.
It just the way that, like, he actually would have been fine. He'd only been down, like,
I think. Oh, no, he was, like, up, like, a whole bunch of money.
No, he would have been, when the interface was wrong, he was down. It wasn't down 700,000. He was only down actually like 150. But because of the way the spread was showing, it was the call and the put were taking a loss. It wasn't just one of them was taking a loss. Right. It was in that weird area where the stock didn't go down enough to start making money on the put, but went down enough to start showing a negative, like, on the call.
Almost right. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It was a really weird, and like, it sucks because as user friendly as Robinhood is, this is where, like, that was a huge fuck up on their part because of the way it displayed things. So, like, when you go into Robinhood, like, I highly recommend you mess with the UI because it's way different, or just don't use a platform at all. Use a better platform, personal opinion.
Yeah, I mean, like, pretty much once the squeeze happens on GameStop, I'm out.
Yeah.
Like,
it's nice because, like, don't be wrong. Partial shares, drip, all that stuff is amazing. And it's amazing for people that are small-time investors and stuff like that, or people that are slowly getting themselves in the game and don't want to play crazy options, or they want to hold for long-term and they want to slowly invest. Like, Robinhood is super friendly, you know. But my personal opinion, if you're gonna buy shares and hold long-term, play with Stash or Acorns. Stash literally gives you a free stock every week. Granted, it's 40 cents, but it's a free stock every single week. It's free diversification for your portfolio.
That's almost what, like $25 a year?
Yep.
It's pretty good. I'll take it.
It's more than the membership.
Yeah, the membership is what?
$1 a month. $1 a month if you do the basic. Okay. But if you do, like, if you had the multiple accounts, do you use Stash?
No, I need to get into Stash. I have Tron's code and I need to.
Yeah, definitely use it because that's free stock for both of you.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I have it. And it's
always use a referral code. When you sign up, you always use a referral code for whatever it is. Find one because you get free stuff from these companies.
And then another thing that anytime I'm looking at options.
3 minutes left in this tech game.
Anytime I'm looking at options, I'll see an option to exercise. It'll say exercise this option. Mm. What actually is that?
So exercising is you're gonna take those shares. Like,
so you're just gonna buy them all out. You're like, yep. Okay, I want to buy them.
Yep. You're gonna close to, I forget what it's called, DTE, something to done till exercise. Basically, you're exercising that, and you're gonna take your profits from that, and you're gonna have enough capital in your account that you're gonna take those 100 shares at your original price that you bought that option. So you'll keep your profit, but it'll be in actual holdings of the shares, not
okay.
In
so your account. If you're like, okay, this is still going up and it's about to expire, I just want to exercise to, you know, keep it kind of rolling.
But you need the money to, because like your option,
yeah,
your
it's one 100 option, shares, and
yeah, your one option play won't cover all the cost, but you can use the profits plus your account to buy it.
Yeah, I mean, yep. if you have something like cheap, like a little dollar stock,
yeah,
little penny stock, yeah, you can, you know, easily cover that. Mm-hmm. But if something's, you know, $70.
Yep. And the nice thing is when you do exercise the call, say the stock starts going down, you can actually be the seller of the put and sell your 100 shares. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you can be, instead of running the spread, you can actually like hold the shares that go into that person's option. So you can, boom, immediately make some money. What are we on? We're on Texas Tech, right? -2? Or we're on Arkansas +1.5?
It was Texas.
-2, yeah.
Yeah. These boys are
if you haven't been paying to March Madness, this has been a good one. We've had two 12s upset of fives. We've had a 4 beat a 13. We had an 8 beat a 1 today. It's been wild. Virginia lost. What was that? That was an 8 over a 5 or something like that. I forget what it was.
I don't remember.
I've no idea what you guys are talking to me like.
You have money to play with?
I have $11.
You should go. You should take. I'm gonna send some bets over. Hang on a second here.
All right, and then so anything else on the options? Because like, there's the straddle or strangle, which Sean talked about a little bit, and Derek has admitted that he doesn't really use it. It's not something that you would use.
I would have used it on this Funko one, like straight up, like real talk would have. And the only reason why I would have is because I thought Funko was going to be a $20, like hit $20, right?
Yeah.
But when we were talking, I think we were talking off air about resistance and stuff like that.
There's six bets you can do
with Funko and the resistance. I felt as soon as it hits around the $19-$20 mark, it was going to drop back down. And so if I would have played them both out long term, I would have hit on both and like made money.
Yeah.
But I'm poor, like I said earlier, and I did not make that play. I just made one play and I'm sad.
But what you could have done too is you could have technically sold the call, then immediately bought the put with the call's money, and then that way too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, oh, I didn't even think of that.
There's different ways to do it. But, you know, the biggest risk of all, you know, running these calls or puts is if it doesn't hit, your option will expire worthless.
Yep.
And you'll lose all that money. Like, I've lost an $8 call. Whatever. That's fine. But
there's these ones too, Tron. You can take.
But if I wanted to do, we'll, you know, for instance, a let's say GameStop, you know, this is a hot one. If you have it for April 1st and you think it's going to go up to 220. I don't know
where it is.
That's going to be $5,733.
$5,733.
Oh, that,
see,
what is that song?
5,000 8675309.
No, the one that,
no clue what the fuck y'all are.
That one song about the minute song, the 53,600 minutes. You know, no. All right, I'll.
But even for it to like a buying a $200 put, yeah, it's 3,000 for, you know, just next Friday. $3,283.
That's why, honestly, when I look for calls and puts as a poor person, I look for like them in the like single digit range.
But for, you know,
the thing is, when you're risking that much money, you know, the swing of it is going to be wild. Like, you're going to see your thing go down $500, go down $1,000, but then you're going to see the gains from it, and it's going to be crazy. Like,
yeah, there's crazy gains, especially on calls. Like, the earning potential on a call is
infinite.
You can just go crazy
as long as the stock keeps going up before your expiration date. But there's also one thing too, is when you're playing these, you have to have a risk tolerance for loss. Like, I normally let the thing drop about 50%, and then I decide if I'm going to keep letting it go and hoping it rebounds, or if I'm going to take my loss and try to find myself moving somewhere else.
With that said there, though, I would like to do a episode, or at least dedicate some time to exit strategy, because I fucked up a bunch of times with not exiting whatnot. And so, like, and this is a big thing with options as well, is because, like, typically with regular stocks, you could just sell or keep or do whatever you want. But with your options, you're literally on a time limit. So you have to make your decision. And when you buy an option, I would absolutely recommend having an idea of like where you want to sell at and where you have to sell at, so you're not taking the whole thing as a loss.
Yep, it's all about tolerance, you know, where you find yourself tolerant. And, you know, when you start seeing your numbers go green and you start seeing so this is the game here. We'll do the bets in a second. We got till 7 o'clock, so we're good.
Yeah, I mean, we're about to wrap this episode up anyway.
Yeah. Well, if you want to bet on something tonight, bet on Mexican soccer. We're going to take Santa Laguna over top of Leon at +140. Tailing one of the pro bettors that we got leaked picks from.
Well, unfortunately, like, this episode releases at 7, so it releases in a half an hour.
Hey, no worries. But yeah.
Hey, but with live betting and releasing this episode and episodes, this is the reason why you should listen to us immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, maybe here in the near future, we'll just start live streaming it.
Yeah. One thing, too, like I said, with tolerance, you got to kind of know when you're in the stocks going down and it's not going to come back. But there's also ones that you can hold on to the very last day of expiration and make a winner out of it, you know. So it all depends on your tolerance for pain and the tolerance for seeing things. And same thing as tolerance for wins, you know. I've seen people up, you know, on a $60 option, they're up $1,600 and they won't sell it because they want to go to $2,000. But why are you... You've already hit a lottery. Like, you just walked into the corner store, asked a guy for a $100 lottery ticket or a $60 lottery ticket, and you just literally cashed out the max prize. Why are you trying to grow that prize? Why are you trying to haggle that guy for another $75?
It's that greed. It's
exactly
like I look at my GameStop. I'm at $600. Ooh, I could pull out right now. I'm at $600.
Yep.
But Diamond Hands, I told myself I'd stay.
But that's different. There's a movement behind that. This is you guys and the AMC guys sticking it to the big hedgies. You know.
I can just tell you that
Arkansas, like, won.
Derek, you're not in the GameStop thing, right?
I was, but I'm in it more. I have AMC shares.
Okay, so he's in AMC.
Yeah.
Tron, I don't think he's in any of that
either. No.
No. So
I was in Nokia for a while, and then I decided to exit that train. I got shares, but that's it.
No, I'm in Nokia. I'm in BlackBerry.
Yep, they're all good. I mean, they're all good long term homes. BlackBerry's putting out satellites and stuff for.
BlackBerry has a 4G phone coming out with a keyboard.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. And then Nokia is doing satellites and stuff for communication between here and Mars. So
all of this, not financial advice still. So,
yeah, but there's, like I said, it's just about tolerance and, you know, I'm always a big fan of letting my winners run, but at the same time, like I set myself up for success because I'm doing this for a reason. I'm not just out here YOLOing money for you know, my shits and giggles.
Yeah,
I'm trying to make some money in this.
I do not recommend getting into GameStop.
So
I like you multiple times. I do not recommend this.
Yeah, not unless you're ready to get in more than once, where you get in at a certain price and then might have to get in again.
I watched my GameStop go like -$700, and I cried tears of red of the lost porn. But then I like watched it fucking skyrocket. Ah, man, looked at my account, $3,500, and now it's down 1,000 again. Sucks. So yeah, don't do it unless you have nerves of steel.
Yeah, I mean, and just willingness to lose money, you know.
Yep, and yeah, don't throw the fucking house on the ponies, as they'd say. But that's it for this episode. Next episode, we will cover more on exit strategy. You know, that's not what the whole episode's going to be about, but we'll figure it out. Well, I'll come up with more questions. Derek, as always, is our guru here.
At the Bearded Yeti on Twitter.
And then we got Tronny Wani.
Yo, what's up? Tronny Wani on Instagram.
He posts pictures of his puppy. I'm Alex the Truck, Instagram, Twitter, and Twitch. I do Freaky Fridays where I'll try and stream a horror game every Friday.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I just played Layers of Fear, got through that entire game, tried to make jokes. And there's times where I genuinely got scared. I'm like, oh, no, not in front of a person.
Some of those horror games, they do real good jobs of like setting you up for those like either suspenseful cutscenes or like setting you up where you walk through a room and all of a sudden like a power line will hit water and all of a sudden it illuminates like the killer or something like that. Like those really good scenes are, you know.
Yeah, no, it's just a dude like losing his mind and trying to paint his woman. So
wild,
I know. So I might do Layers of Fear 2 next Friday. Get home early, just at a random time. So you have to follow me and then be ready. So, all right, see y'all later. Bye.
Peace.
Peace.